Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Culture Heritage Fund. Helping you discover the Twin Cities, it is Radio K's Real College Podcast. Online and on the air, my name is Matthew Curtis, and this week we are talking technology. We've come a long way from Pong, dial-up, and computers that fill entire rooms. We now live in an age where we're wired in at every opportunity, with gadgets only getting smaller, faster, and more capable. But with all these advancements, certain responsibilities need to be taken and risks need to be avoided. Aaron Bolton investigates a security breach, Marjorie Otto weighs the morality of pirating content, and we hear the word on the street with Alex Thorson. And it all starts right now on The Real College Podcast. Over the past 20 years, computers have become a widely used part of daily life. They allow you to stay in touch, get work done, and information is always at your fingertips. But as we invite this technology into our lives, we also invite the issues that come with it. Cybersecurity being the biggest among them, we not only need to learn how we can prevent privacy issues, but to prepare ourselves when a break-in happens. Reporter Aaron Bolton has the story.
Tonight, new concern about a security breach, this time at Home Depot.
Target hit with a huge security breach.
The word security breach, it has become part of our vocabulary over the past few years in light of large-scale attacks on corporations. They are described as
alarming security breach,
massive security breach,
the largest cyber attacks in U.S. history.
And it could be bigger than the breach at Target.
They may make you nervous about your personal information, but it can be easy to forget about the variety of techniques hackers ploy to wage cyber warfare one person at a time. The person behind the other screen may not be stealing your identity, but instead wants you to pay them using
a fairly new thing that's occurring in our environment.
This is Brian DeLynn, Chief Information Officer at the University of Minnesota, and he's talking about computer hijacking.
You hear it called things like crypto locker and stuff. Basically, it's somebody has some piece of malware that encrypts the drive and makes it unreadable. I mean, unless you have the key.
The primary target of an attack like this isn't your personal information. It's your money.
A banner came across, and it was not a GUI interface. It was like the old machine language, I guess you'd call it. It just said that if you want these files to open up, you must pay $1,000, and it gave some instructions on how to transfer money to this place. My name is Raleigh Mattson. I'm a 61-year-old male who looks much older than that.
Mattson is a sales representative for a large computer distributor who works from home, and his work computer was hijacked a few months ago.
Did you lose all your files, or are your files stored on the cloud storage?
I didn't think it was necessary for me because I'm that clever. So I lost everything except for my email things. There are things that the company backs up, but the personal files, they were just gone.
Mattson has seen just about every major change in the computer industry.
I have known since day one to back things up. I sell computers every day for 40 years. I tell people one thing, back up your stuff.
How someone like him can get put into a position like this, it's hard to pinpoint.
I said yes to somebody. I accepted something. I probably get in a day, business-related, specific to me, 200 emails. I'm copied on things, that kind of thing. If you catch 5,000 of your emails, no problem, but the 5,000 first is a problem. That's what it is.
Okay, so far you've heard terms like encrypt, virus, and malware. To make this straightforward, here's how it goes. The hacker attaches malicious software, known as malware, to link generally sent through email. So for someone like Mattson, who gets 200 emails a day, it can be difficult to always have your guard up. The victim clicks on the link and the malware is installed onto the device. The malware then has the ability to lock up your hard drive, the piece of hardware that stores all your information on your computer.
If you spam a million people, some insignificant small part are going to send the money back, because it costs nothing to spam 100 people is no less than spamming 100 million people. It's a pretty ingenious thing to do, and most of it begins with a belief in Russia.
It can be easy to think of the person on the other side as this sophisticated hacker across the world, but Mattson's cyber attacker could have been his next-door neighbor using malware purchased off the internet.
They're just using malware that's out there, that's available. They're not often creating it themselves. They're buying something.
And these pieces of software don't always do the same thing.
It all depends on the type of malware that they've put involved and the ones that you were describing earlier.
I had explained to him earlier what had happened in Madsen's case.
Generally the ones that they're completely locking the entire drive versus they may be locking some piece of information instead. But it all depends on the malware that they've used.
Because there's such a variety of malware used, it makes it even harder to understand how it happened to you. Some forms of malware give its user the ability to launch their attack at a time they choose. So if you clicked on the link 2 months ago, you may not even remember it.
It could be months, it could be a year, it could be, you know, a long time.
Once it's happened, there's not a whole lot you can do. And as for Madsen's computer?
I sent it back and it was destroyed. They won't take the risk of looking at the drive and that thing. They just destroyed it.
Dylan says the best thing you can do to fight computer hijacking is to back your stuff up to a place not connected to your computer.
I don't fear it. I mean, it's a fact of life. I mean, I guess you could worry about everything. Unless you go off the grid and turn your machine off, you're open to that.
As computers continue to creep into our lives, so do the issues they bring with them. It's Murphy's Law. If it can go wrong, it will. I'm Aaron Bolton.
All right. In studio, we have here Aaron Bolton, producer for Radio K. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you, man?
Not too bad, man. I feel you. But, you know, you got your story done.
Yeah.
Against all the odds. And how was that process?
It was pretty good. It actually came together better than I thought. Looking at computer hijacking, going into it, I was figuring it was going to be this super complicated process, and it turned out to be quite a lot more simplistic than I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. So how did the story appear to you? Like, how did it kind of surface into your sites?
Initially, I was told by a friend that their father's work computer had been hijacked. Initially, it was described to me that it happened to the whole office. So in my head, I was picturing this like chaotic scene of like, you know, 40 employees going, oh, you know what's going on? Like everyone's computer went down, and I heard that they destroyed all the computers. Then all of a sudden, the real story came into view, which was it happened to 3 people out of 5,000. But it was still an interesting concept because it had happened to my own dad quite some time ago. So I had kind of seen the repercussions of this particular thing a couple times.
Well, why wasn't it company-wide? Do you know anything about that?
It's just because, only those 3 people had clicked on whatever link it was that infected their computers with it, with the malware that, you know, was able to hijack their computer.
What was interesting about this to you?
The interesting thing is when everyone thinks of, like, security breach, it's always your identity that's at stake. It's always, in end game, it's always money that they're after, it seems like, but this is just another way to manipulate money out of people. But it's interesting because it gives the person that it happens to the choice. And then my biggest question, which obviously I can't get answered because I'm not talking to the person who's, you know, doing something like this, is if you paid the money, would they actually unlock your hard drive, or they just take the money and not think about it again?
So if you were in the situation and, you know, your computer and all of your documents got hijacked and then some text appears on your computer that says, will you pay X amount of money to get your stuff back? Would you do it?
No, probably not. They're usually like saying like $1,000 up to like $2,000. And it's just no way. I wouldn't trust it. And that's a lot of money, especially for me being a college student anyways, to dump into something that's not even a guarantee. It's better just to suck it up, move on, and just hopefully be – it's just a fact of life now. That's basically the point of it. It's a fact of life. If it can happen, it will happen. And so just – I don't know. I'm just better at backing up my stuff, I guess.
I mean, you mentioned backing up your stuff. What would you recommend to listeners to either avoid these things altogether or, you know, prevent too much damage being done to their intellectual property?
You know, that was a big question, is how can you prevent it? And I every time I asked that question, it basically got the same the answer back was that you can't. I can't say I can guarantee it'll happen to you, but there's a very good chance that something of this nature will happen. So the best choice is to just back up your stuff, to an external hard drive. That way, if it happens to you, then that hacker's out of luck because you still have all your data.
Great. Well, that's pretty much all I have for you. Aaron, is there anything that you want to get across in the story?
Basically, just that with computers and how, I mean, obviously everyone knows that it's just becoming a bigger part of your life, but it now the issues they bring with them are becoming facts of life, and that's just pretty much how we're going to work our way through those things.
I guess we'll have to roll with it. Well, thank you so much, Aaron.
Thank you, Matt.
My name is Alex Thorson, and this is your Word on the Street, giving you a taste of the events that you need to be at this week. Starting on Tuesday, October 13th, Disclosure is coming to town. Disclosure are Guy and Howard Lawrence, two brothers from the UK making house and future music. There are a number of exciting names featured on Disclosure's new album, Caracle, such as Lion Babe, Now, Quabs, Gregory Porter, and the beautiful Sam Smith. The full details of Disclosure's 13 tracks are now confirmed. Global stars include The Weeknd, Miguel, and Lord, alongside some extremely talented newcomer Jordan Rakai and Brendan Riley. Let's now have a listen to Disclosure's new collaboration, Nocturnal, featuring The Weeknd. Always restless, story of my life. Disconnected, body clock's not right. Try to tell myself that I'm gonna get some sleep tonight. Found myself, I started. This isn't where I want to be. The time I thought I'd hardest always comes eventually. My shadow doesn't show in the dark. The nighttime is in front of my heart. The emptiness I felt from the start will follow me till I find the Lord. Nocturnal. Girlpool is an LA-based group of two, Cleo Tucker and Harmony Tividad. Their sound is comprised only of a guitar, bass, and vocal harmonies, and the best part about their album, I think, is that through their music they hit on key concepts such as awareness and respect to the simple feeling of being alone at a show. Here's Chinatown by Girlpool. Ed Schrader and Devlin Rice are Ed Schrader's music beat from Baltimore. In 2008 and 9, many had seen Ed live with just a floor tom, one light, plenty of jokes, and a commanding voice. Here's Laughing by Ed Schrader's music beat. She's on a laughing every night. Do-do-do-do. She's on a home about seagulls. Do-do-do-do. She's on a trouble about the minnows and chills and cracks of film. She's only laughing every night, do do do. Check out the weasel in the treetop, do do do. Spooked as a vanishing crown of a galaxy major film. She's the one, no Joan of Arc films.
sense.
Peaches is a Canadian electronic musician and performance artist who resides in Berlin. You know what's awesome about Peaches? She plays her own instruments for her songs, programs her own electronic beats, and produces her own albums. On top of that, her songs are noted for disregarding gender norms, which I think is pretty cool. Here's Chinatown by Peaches.
Look to the right. Look to the right. Let him get a close up. Let me get a close up. Look to the right. Look to the right. Let me get a close up. Let me get a close up. You ready?
Don't follow patronymic. Splooge, look at that spillage. Scoop it up for the clinic. Try to keep it up in your lineage. Making me live it. Got no limits. Cynic, cynic, cynic. Wait a minute, who were you looking at when you grew fat? You just blew that, can't redo that, that. Diminish the pillage, a privilege to visit my village. Are you finished? Saw shrinkage, you see snot coins in my mintage.
Look to the right, look to the right. Let me get a close up, let me get a close up. On your knees, roll on over. Let me get a close up. Let me get a close up. You ready?
Chromosome, different wardrobe, testosterone. Blender, Tinder, find a grinder, romance the phone. Better go home, better get stoned. Set up in the mirror for peak of the clone. You're a personal loan with a personal loan. Tasha Leon, gonna break your hip bone. Just a lot of scrimmage. Not real, but image. A vintage gimmick that you just can't mimic.
This has been Word on the Street. I'm Alex Thorson. Thanks for listening.
Let me get a close up. Let me get a close up. On your knees. Roll on over. Let me get a close up. Let me get a close up.
There are a lot of ways to get music today. There's iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, physical copies. Another method, downloading without paying. And this is a popular method for cash-strapped college students. In this story, Marjorie Otto examines if there's an issue with the morality when it comes to how we source our tunes.
I've noticed recently that it seems as though everyone has their own way to get music, and a lot of people have strong opinions on how they get it, especially when it comes to paying versus not paying for music. It's kind of like everyone has their own moral code for it. So I was curious to see if there is some kind of morality to how we source our music.
Hi, I'm Rabbi Jeremy Fine. I am the Associate Rabbi at Temple of Aaron.
I asked him how he defined morality.
So I think morality has to do with how we not only treat people, I guess there's three levels, how we treat ourselves, how we treat the people around us, both our loved ones and our general friends and community, but also how we also view how our lives play into the general existence of the world. So what we do and decisions that might impact us positively, if they're affecting the world negatively, that also plays a role.
To really know what morality means, I spoke with someone whose job it is to think about morality on a daily basis.
For example, in Judaism, we have keeping kosher, right? And keeping kosher is a checking point for what are we putting into our body. It's not necessarily a better diet. It does, and a lot of people don't even do it because they feel it was ordained by God, but they do it as, I'm even going to check what goes into my system.
I found his kosher idea to be analogous with responsibly sourcing what goes into our ears.
My flame. My life is gone.
To find out how others get their music and how that impacts an artist, I spoke with avid music listeners and musicians Carl, Sylvan, Evan, and Zach, who have a band named Wicked Tamazusa.
Honestly, if I can't find it readily, I'm going to torrent that.
So, me, I'm in a weird position where I'm using Pandora a lot.
I only buy vinyl and use CDs.
I pay $9.99 for Google Play.
And the general consensus of the group and the reasoning behind why they choose the methods that they choose. They all seem mostly concerned about getting money directly to the artist. Here's Sylvan.
When I download music for free, I feel like I'd rather just, instead of buying the album, which I kind of feel guilty about because, like, this money is going to the corporations, not all the people, I'd rather just download all the albums for free and then send a check to the band, just straight to the band, so they get the money because they're the ones who made the music.
And Zach.
I kind of view downloading music as kind of like a screen. Like, I download music and I find what I like, and if I like them, I'll go to your show, and I'll pay to see your show, and I'll give you money that way.
I also asked them, as a band, what their thoughts were on how people get their music and how it affects them.
I would be honored if someone felt the need to pirate it.
I mean, that would make my day. As an unknown, as a tiny group, you just want anybody and anybody to hear your music and go, hey, that's cool.
So have we reached a definitive answer about the morality of how we source our music? Not really. Not this time. But it's a start.
That concludes this week's Real College Podcast. Thank you to Aaron Bolton, Marjorie Otto, and Alex Thorson for contributing to this week's show. Our producers are Aaron Bolton, Max Fuller, Patrick Sharkey, and Jackie Renzetti. You can find us on RadioK.org, iTunes, and Sundays at 6 p.m. on Radio K. To play us out is our weekly release spotlight, Skylar Spence, with the track Can't You See from his debut, Prom King. To read a full review of the album and download a free track, head on to RadioK.org. Support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and thank you for listening.
out of time. Missed the train and lost my mind. Not quite the picture that I wanted.